Hey folks, this is Todd from TM Hunt Custom Knives.
Oh my.
There I was, minding my own business. I don't give a two-penny about your moral conundrum. Hey, is this thing on? There's absolutely no excuse for what we are about to do.
Welcome, everybody, to what we call the Toddcast. I suppose that we can call this episode two, even though my druthers was to go ahead and mix this with the first one, which I don't know, whoever listens to me, but nope. Glad you guys are all here. And really happy that you guys have nothing better to do than listen to my ramblings. I am, again, happy to announce that I do have my good friend Corey Murphy here with me this evening. Would you like to say hello?
Hello.
Hello. And tonight specifically, we are going to reach down into the dark depths of the history of TM Hunt Custom Knives. And we are going to talk about some of the titles that have some of the knife titles as far as what I name my knives, how I name my knives, why I name my knives. And and terminologies that I absolutely hate. So therefore, you guys can take them and shove them in my face later on down the road. But again, Corey Murphy, yes. Todd Hunt, and TM Hunt Custom Knives, and this is the Toddcast on
Sirius XM.
Well, it might have been a little bit earlier for
Outlaw
that.
Outlaw Country.
Outlaw Country. But and the reason that I'm talking to Corey on these matters is because he was here for the naming and the conception of, that might be the wrong thing to say in your presence.
We did not conceive these things together.
You've been around for a lot of the naming of the earlier knives and why we name them. First of all, it's been kind of a pretty wild ride, and I've got some good friends that are a lot bigger in this industry than myself. And one of them has given me some very good sound advice from day one when I actually decided to do this as a full-time career. His name, and I know you know him too, Mr. Brian Griffin.
Brian Griffin.
He writes a lot. Takes a lot of photos. He does some writing for a couple different publications, and you guys have to forgive me that I'm not saying the publications right now, because I know that that has changed over time, and I do not want to give out false information. But when I very first started making knives on, dare I say, a professional basis...
You're working with a professional here!
Brian came to me and he said, he goes, so what are you going to do about your knife models or knife names or what have you? And that was one thing I really didn't understand, because I, for lack of a better term, I didn't know what he meant. But he said, well, if you're going to start making a lot of knives, you have ones that are, for lack of a better term, maybe a basic model or something you're going to make a lot of, you need to name them.
A workhorse.
We did name them. I totally forgot about.
The workhorse line.
But I didn't understand. And what he told me was, he goes, right now, he said, you're building a rapport and whatnot. And he said, there's going to be people that's going to send you pictures from all over the world and the internet, because that's just the way that all that stuff works. And they're going to say, well, what about this? What about this? And what about that? He says, you need to come up with base names, and it's going to make things 10 times easier. And I totally thought that he was 110% full of shit. But I decided to go ahead and do it. And lo and behold, about to his time frame that he said so, it worked out that I was starting to get orders. I was starting to get people to show me pictures and this and that. And it came real quick to me that he was really right, and I needed to determine some names. So TM Hunt has a line of knives that are, of course, many of you know, if you follow here, that I do make one-offs, and I really enjoy that kind of work. But the bread and butter knives are all, pretty much named and easily identified. And I just thought that we would take a little bit of time and talk about what those names are and where they came from and how we got to name them. And I think that it'll be a lot of fun. And Corey, you have been here for the majority of all of that, if not all of it. And so which one do you want to field first?
Man, let's resurrect the dead right off the bat.
Oh, no.
The Hornet.
Okay. All right.
let's bring up the Hornet.
Let's bring up the Hornet. When I very first got to the point to where I was making knives on a semi-professional basis, and pretty much at the time where I was really putting some serious thought into going full-time, I made a very small, what I call a two-finger knife. And Spencer, are we able to put pictures up of these things that we mentioned for the good people to be able to? Okay, so my computer feller says no, that he cannot. But if you guys are familiar, I used to make like a two-finger type knife that had a Warncliffe blade. Would you say Warncliffe sheep's
foot? Yeah, Warncliffe sheep's foot. Yeah, Hawkbill. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And actually, I had gotten asked by, I don't want to insult the poor lady, but what I would say an elderly lady at the place where I was employed at before I went full time.
Yeah, yeah.
And she wanted, ironically, we were all talking about this earlier with my lovely wife, she wanted a good box cutter.
Yeah. And if you ask anybody on YouTube or any of that stuff, they're going to tell you what they do most often with their knives is open boxes.
Is open boxes. And I totally get that. And I had never made, not that I didn't have the ability to do it, but I've never really made a knife based on what I would consider a handy handmade box knife. So, as knife makers do, they tend to take a little bit of time for things to resolve, or for things to
pan out. Yeah.
And by the time I actually made one, she was already retired and gone.
Guess she's gone.
So I had this knife that I didn't know what to do with, and I carried it for a little while, and it wasn't something that I necessarily, I don't want to say didn't have an interest in, but it wasn't something that was on my radar. So
it was your kick around knife. Like you had it.
Yeah.
You used it thinking it wasn't ever going to serve a purpose other than for you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And lo and behold, at that time, we was, you and I both, we was members of Blade Forms.
Mm-hmm.
And Blade Forms used to be, and I don't mean to downplay it because the guy that owns it is still a good friend of ours.
Yeah.
But at the time, Blade Forms, this was before everything exploded as far as the knife industry is, you know, Forged in Fire and whatever those other shows are. And, you know, Bladeforms used to be the mecca of everything knife. And people gravitated to it. And I can't tell you how many of them I've made over the years, but it's probably in the hundreds.
Hornets.
The original Hornets.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit.
You lie to me, I'll wipe up the floor with you worse than anybody else who's ever tackled you. Do you understand me?
Okay.
Now.
These are all hand cut.
Oh, yeah.
None of those were watered.
No. None of them ever was. You know, over what has been the last, 10 years or so, I bet you I've made 300 or 400 of them.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is, this knife overall length, I think I've actually got a blank laying around here somewhere, but the overall length of these things is what?
About 3.5 maybe inches.
3.5 inches maybe? I'm thinking.
Probably more like 3.
Between 3 and 3.5
The original was probably about 3. About 3.5.
Actually, well, holy shit, the very, right up there.
Yeah. That's the very first.
Yeah, grab that one.
Oh, no, dude, we're both wrong.
Ah.
About 4.25.
Ah. Let me see this.
Well, you're a dude, so you have to measure it yourself, figure out it's not right.
Wow, I'd never believe that. But yeah, about 4 inches overall length.
The blade is maybe a little nothing. Bit. The handle is the majority.
Okay, all right. But they were all hand cut, so God only knows. The ones that you have are probably all, every one of them is different, I imagine.
The one, well, go on, and I'll talk about the one my daughter and I, or the one we made for my daughter and I.
Yeah, but anyway, the fact of the matter is, they are still 100% handmade. They take the exact amount of time and effort that all of the big knives do. And for that reason, I just got sick and tired of making them because as far as price goes, they didn't really demand that much of a... They didn't demand that much of a
premium. Or a...
Oh, come on. What's the word I'm looking for? They weren't really worth that much money.
You weren't getting the return on it.
I wasn't getting the return on it. I wasn't making a profit.
That's the word profit. How does a business not know the word profit?
How does business not make a profit? But anyway, so I just got sick and tired of making them. It's not because they didn't sell. It's just because I got sick and tired of making them because they were so much more work or just the same amount of work as something that I was getting 3 to 4 to, you know, 5, 6. Well, I mean, whatever it goes to, it was just the same amount of work. And it was frustrating, so I pretty much did away with them. Now, having said that, there is a new generation of the Hornet. I see you curling your lip up.
It's not the same. But
No, of course it's not the same. But what basically happens is, if you guys see the Gen 2 Hornet, is what I call it, it is basically the same knife, a little bit stretched out, a little bit bigger, and dare I say, something almost enjoyable for me to make. And and that's the reason, because I needed to bring a little bit of joy back to it. But how the Hornet got its name, that's where we was going.
That's right? Where we were going with all this, yeah.
Way back when we started taking the first M18s out for field testing, a good friend of ours by the name of Jeff Mock,
Diesel D,
used to be Diesel D on the forums.
Yeah.
He invited us up to some property that he owned that he was getting ready to build a house on.
Who's now very settled
in his business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Asked us to come up and go out through the woods and chop and have some fun with the M18. So, of course, we took him up on that. And we had some potato soup. The first time you ever had potato soup. Remember that?
Well, I recall, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was funny because we got to thicken it up. Let's put some crackers in it. Well, we got to cool it down. Let's pour some beer in it. Now, is this soup done or not? We keep adding shit to it.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily agree with that. But, hey, it wasn't my house.
Hey, it was cold.
But we went up there. It wasn't that cold because I had shorts on.
That's a different time. The soup was a different time.
The soup
was when we went out and just did the M18s only.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Him showing us around the property was a whole – that was the hornet time because that would have been a hornet's nest. You were in shorts and you got really jacked.
Oh, I got jacked. But we was chopping up a piece of how we pissed off the hornets was how with an M18. Pissed off the hornets. Anyway, we was in his back 40, and I had an M18, and we used to get pretty damn good at chopping a 2-inch sapling with one swing, remember?
No problem, yeah.
And we located said tree, and I took a swing at it with, again, I had shorts on. And when I did, the next thing I felt was a sting here, a sting there, a sting here. I had, so abruptly, man, it was terrible.
I'm just imagining the reaction and picturing all that again. Yeah.
But I think we counted, I got stung 7 times before I could run away and scream like a girl.
Ouch!
To get away from it. Was that right?
That's pretty close.
Probably. And at the same time, we was actually trying to figure out a name for this little knife.
We had the fang, the claw.
Yeah, the same thing that's going through with this shit that's with this new knife that we got now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, that's a whole nother story. But we decided from that day on it was going to be the Hornet because when we were sitting here brainstorming, titles, I happened to get stung 7 different times by hornets, and so that's where that came from.
Yeah.
Is that how you recollect?
That's exactly how I recollect.
All right. So which one do you want to field next?
How about the Magua?
The Magua. I'm actually interested in figuring out if your story and my story is the same on the Magua.
I don't know that there was much of a story. I just remember you talking about, hey, I've been thinking about this. I really enjoy James Fenimore Cooper's book.
I don't even know who that son of a bitch is.
Jesus Christ.
Cheese and rice.
Yeah, cheese and rice. Last of the Mohicans.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a book.
I thought you read. No, okay, hey. You had read more on the character of Magua after you watched the movie, I think.
And that's what
got you interested in it, I thought.
No. I remember one of our earliest...
This is the bullshit story you told me, but okay. Where did you hear this?
See, this is where it's going to get interesting, folks.
Okay.
I remember in some of our earliest days of Murph and I working here in the shop together. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Murph and I both like to partake in the Good Lord's Brew. And we say the Good Lord's Brew because we think it's something that he has gifted upon us.
Only he could create something
of such goodness.
Yeah, he made the devil. He made the beer. Guaranteed.
And Murph and I, to be serious... Real quick, Murph and I have seen each other through some of our best times in life and some of our hardest times in life. Is that a very safe assumption to say?
100%.
And I have never really seen... Well, I take that back. Very seldom have I seen Murph ever really kind of lose his shit, for lack of a better term. And I remember one of the very first times we was working in here, Murph likes to give me a lot of shit, and I like to give Murph a lot of shit. And sometimes 90% of the time, that's pretty damn funny. Mm-hmm. But the 10% of the time, yeah, sometimes we have enough of it too, don't we?
We find each other's ladder of limits.
Yeah. And I remember this was back before none of this stuff was in the shop. I had basically a one grinder and one drill press. You are true in the fact that I was interested in the character of Magua.
Yeah.
And for those of you that don't know The Last of the Mohicans, Magua was the Indian that got banished from his tribe for drunkenness.
But they don't talk about that in the movie. You have to read up on that your own self.
Well, holy shit, I'm smarter than I think I am.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I was like, how did you know that? Because I had to read up on it later.
Maybe that's what it was. But anyway, okay, maybe I'm more cultured than I think.
But go on. I want to hear where this came from.
But I remember me drilling Magua out for, which it wasn't a Magua at the time, because the very first Magua I ever made was for my uncle. I made it for him for a patch knife.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the silhouette of the knife was just so cool. Matter of fact, I don't know, did I ever show you a picture of the original one that had the buffalo nickels in the handle?
Yeah. It's in your portfolio, right?
I don't know. But I'd like to find it because that was really cool. But anyway, and Murph was giving me shit as I was drilling the knife. And as I often do in my smartass rapport, I told him, I said, man, if you don't shut up, I'm going to mogwai your ass. And what I meant by that was, I was going to delete him from my tribe for drunkenness.
And I remember going, Magua, are you talking about that stupid gremlin thing?
Yeah.
What the hell are you talking about?
No, that was Magua.
I know, but Magua. I thought you were talking about Magua.
No, like, I was going to Magua your ass. I was going to kick you out of here for drunkenness, which is
possibly something we should both be expelled for.
I was going to say, which is really, if you knew the insanity of that ever coming up.
Neither one of us had even reached the point of seeing each other at our drunkenness yet at that point.
No, well, we was making some pretty good efforts.
We were trying.
But that's my recollection of the Mogul, and that's the story I tell. I think mine's
better. I think that's a better story, honestly.
It's a better story.
So here's mine. I remember how you came up with that name how you got that name in your repertoire.
Mogul.
But you remember how you used it and how you wanted to use it for a knife.
I was going to mogwai your ass out of here.
You're going to mogwai. You're going to exile me for drunkenness, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
I should be drunken.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I should be drunken.
That's like telling my wife I'm kicking her out of the house for sex.
Yeah. Well.
But, yeah, that's my recollection.
Haters going to hate. Players going to play. Murph's going to drink.
That's right. But, anyway, it stuck, and that's the Magua.
What else we got?
Well, we got several.
The Yuma.
Man, here's what's crazy about the Yuma. I don't even know where that one came from.
Okay.
Do you?
I remember how I heard the name Yuma.
All right. Well,
we had talked about it.
Let me see if I can. Let me tell you what I can recollect.
Okay.
The Yuma and the Tradewater are the exact same knife, other than I made the Yuma first before the Tradewater, and it was 3/16 thick. Now I make them, unless they're otherwise ordered, I make them in 5/32. That's not 5/32. It's 5/32. That is authentic user gibberish.
Yeah.
And anyway, they're the same knife, except for the Tradewater has, what is it, like an inch and a quarter, inch and an eighth longer blade, whatever it is. You would think by now that we should know the specs, but... anyway, that's the difference. But the Yuma, people don't think this, but the Yuma came first.
Yep.
And man, I seriously do not remember where we came.
Funny? Here's something funny. You talk about Yumas. Somebody else was talking about Yuma, and I always looked at it going, "That's a weird sized knife, as far as I was concerned. Like the BK-16. Mm-hmm. It was just a knife to me I had no place for. I either wanted a teeny tiny knife, like a Hornet, or I wanted a big-ass fucking chopper, like an M18. Mm-hmm. Anything in between to me was bullshit.
Okay.
And, but I remember saying, let's do, we talked about the trade water, and I think you, somehow I had got the trade water. The one trade water that didn't go to, remember it?
I do know that story.
Okay. But I got the trade water, and then we ended up with the chief. And do you remember why we ended up with the chief?
Yes.
Okay. So I got a chief, but I do not have a Yuma. But I remember thinking it was kind of odd. I'm like, man, I was like, that's just one of those I just never needed.
Yeah, yeah.
But and then I always look at him going, man, I kind of want to go. I kind of want to go for a Yuma.
I don't have a Yuma either.
Well, you don't have a lot of shit.
I don't have a lot of shit.
but anyway, go on with your story then.
No, no, my story's done. Do you recollect how Yuma. It came up? Okay. I do know
the name Yuma.
It's a
city
in Arizona.
Yep.
Yeah.
But how I remember I first heard it was when I was in middle school, I used to get off the bus and we had just got, at the time it was Primestar. This is back before DirecTV. No, I think it was Direct. I think Primestar became DirecTV. Anyway, or whatever it was. Dish Network or some bullshit. I don't know. They all kind of filter into their own entities. But we had Primestar, and that was my first ever satellite internet. We didn't even have cable growing up. We had the three channels. Then all of a sudden, we moved into the country, and they said, hey, you're getting satellite. Boom. Now we got this crazy array of numbers that I can access anything ever. It was like having the internet for the first time, as far as I was concerned.
Heathens.
And I watched the Western Channel. The Western Channel had a show on about the time I got off the bus called The Rebel, which I don't even think they could show this show anymore because the guy wore gray and it was black and white, and that just can't go down today. Like, somehow it would be like, you know, inciting Civil War violence or some shit. But they had a guy named Johnny Yuma. He was the Rebel. Johnny Cash sang a song, Johnny Yuma the Rebel. I remember talking about it one day and here saying, hey man, did you ever watch it? And we talked about, you know, like I said, Yuma. And somehow it turned into, he had a fucking general knife. He had a knife he carried on his side, and he had his pistol. And he had a ledger that he carried that he wrote in every night. And I remember that being a conversation in here. And I don't know if that's where you got the seed planted in your head that you wanted to use that name or what. But somehow this knife just became the Yuma. So we still don't know where the knife name came from, but we know where we both heard Yuma from.
Well, I remember your story is actually much better than mine, because the only thing...
I just made it up. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, seriously, because I'm kind of wondering about that one, because I don't know where the Yuma came from, but it was just the Yuma. I remember we also discussed the movie 310 to Yuma.
That would have been later, right?
Yeah, that would have been later. But we discussed 310 to Yuma.
Okay.
And
with Russell Crowe.
Well, actually, that was a remake.
Well, oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, that's true. That was.
The original.
When 310 to Yuma that I was talking about came out, that would have been after the Yuma. But the original, I don't know when that came out. Like, yeah. 70s?
Well, 60s, maybe? Yeah, I don't want to.
Screw up.
Yeah, I don't want to say something that I don't know. But ahead, yeah, I would say you're about right.
Access.
But yeah, that's actually interesting that we talk about that, because I can't remember where the name Yuma came from, but it's been a pretty stable piece.
Dude, it like I said, as far as I'm concerned, 1957 is when it came out.
57. Yeah, so 57. Yeah. Yeah.
So as far as I'm concerned, that's kind of a mainstay, man. That's, you know, I'm not talking shit about any of the other knives, but you could take a Tradewater and a Chief away, and you have at some point. You take them away.
I haven't made many Yumas at all in the last couple of years.
But to me, if I was to sit down and say, here's my perfect TM Hunt lineup, and we haven't even named some of these knives yet. You could do the Hornet.
Gen 1 or Gen 2?
Gen 1. I don't like the Gen 2.
Well, nobody asked you.
Well, you just did. So, or you could do the Magua, the OG version, not the bigger version. Because that's what you did. You took and made the Magua bigger. There was no need for a Yuma. Right?
Say that again.
The Magua. You made the Magua bigger, thicker.
With what?
The steel.
For what model?
The Magua.
The Magua's been the Magua ever since the Magua's been the Magua.
The Maguas you make now are not the same as the Magua I have.
Well, it's only because they were all hand cut and now they're water jetted.
Mine is way smaller. Mine is more of a patch knife. The one you're making now is more of the Yuma size. That's what I'm saying. It almost became redundant at one point.
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. If you had a Hornet, a Magua, or a Yuma, and then a bigger knife like an M18, then you go, okay, you're covered. Your gambit is covered.
Well, that's kind of what my idea was.
Right, that's what it all was. I remember this, yeah.
Yeah, not everybody agrees on what...
That's why there's multiple different knives. That's
exactly.
Why knives to cover
exactly,
gambit.
Yes.
That's why there's
yes,
the knife we haven't
yes,
yet
yes,
named.
Yes, yes,
that's, I get it, but
that's
I'm saying...
That's an excellent point.
But that's what I was saying. That's why I think it kind of got phased out and not made anymore, is because there's other knives that have kind of covered it up or kind of became your favorite to make and take pictures of, and people see it more and whatever.
And it's something new.
And it's something new.
Yeah. No, that's very fair.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. That's very fair.
So what else? We've named the... You need to keep track of these because we're gonna double dip.
Oh, right, we're not going to double dip.
We've done the Hornet. We've done the Hornet. We've done the Magua. We've done the Yuma. And you kind of hit on the trade water.
Well, I mean, I guess that's the next one in line, right?
Well, let's do that.
The trade water is actually a very good friend of ours by the name of, should we disclose names?
Just call him R. Oliver.
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 Our friend Oliver, the king of Barlow, Kentucky.
Barlow.
For Barlow. For Barlow. A very good friend of ours, met him through not only Blade Forms, like we said earlier, but also met him up on the hill during some of our numerous camping trips at Mr. Ethan Becker's place.
Back in our wilder days.
Back in our wilder days. And we can talk about more about that later on a future podcast or whatever.
Hank Jr. song, All My Rowdy Friends Have Settled Down.
Yeah, here we are. But... he called me up, again, at the very beginning of what I would consider my professional knife-making career.
I was listening to this thing creaking, the stool.
Oh. And basically, he was very impressed with the Yuma.
Yep.
But he wanted to make it a little bit more specific for him. And he gave us some different specifics as far as...
We could hear it. Todd, I like it if it was only different.
I only like it if I could just trade it around a little bit.
If I could just make it different, that'd be great.
And the name Trade Water is actually the screen name.
His net handle.
His net handle. And I found it interesting when he explained to us where that came from. Do you remember that?
Do you remember that?
I do.
Go for it.
You don't.
I don't.
You don't. Okay. Well, he was explaining.
I know I was there, but I was probably very well.
And I cannot remember where he was at or what he was doing or what tribe or what area he's talking about. But anyway, specifically, there was some place and there were some Indian tribes, some rival Indian tribes that inhabited the same piece of land. And there was... a lot of animosity between the two and whatnot. When you see him, kill him type of thing. And however, where they were at was so remote that the only way that they had ways to bring in trade goods and supplies was by canoe, by river. And the two tribes... they hated each other so much that, like I said, it was pretty much kill each other on sight. But if the trade agreements shit the bed come. Now, again, this isn't the professor at the college
third hunting move of the season.
Yeah. But the agreement was that both of these tribes, neither one could sustain their livelihoods if they didn't have the trade coming in from the river.
So he was the mediator.
The river was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. So they came up with a agreement that there would be absolutely no bloodshed, no fighting, no nothing on this river during their processes of trade, which became, the river became known as Trade Water. And I thought that was a really cool story. And if anybody can back this up and let us know if we're anywhere close or we're full of shit, either one will appreciate it. But anyway, that is his internet name. Mm-hmm. And he is the guy that ordered the knife, which was basically a modification of the Yuma. And so thus became the very first Trade Water knife. We named it after him. And actually the very first one was called... it was actually stamped with the letters TWS,
yep,
which stood for Trade Water Special.
And what it looked like?
Actually, the joke was everybody said, what's TWS stand for? And a couple of friends in our circle said that it actually stood, it didn't stand for Trade Water Special. It stood for Terrible Wiping Stick.
I don't remember hearing that.
Which I would agree with.
Which a terrible wiping stick ended up being a Skellamog.
Kinda, somewhat, it ended because
up in the shit.
No, that was the shithouse special.
The Skellamog.
Yeah.
The original was a Skellamog. It became the shithouse special.
It became the shithouse special. That's another story.
Yeah. But I'm saying that was a terrible wiping stick. It ended up in the shit.
The terrible wiping stick, but the very first Trade Water that went to actual Oliver was marked TWS. Like? I know exactly what. He was a big fan of the black and tan Yinglings.
Yingling black and tan.
Yep.
That's who introduced us to him.
Yep.
And that was my original Yingling taste when I started bringing them back here to you, was black and tans.
Yeah.
We didn't find the lager until way later.
No. That's not true at all. The very first time.
No, okay, that is not true for me.
For you, it's not.
To Gulf Shores, Alabama.
Yeah.
And had
the very first time I was introduced to Yinglings was the very first time you took me up to Ethan's house. And we stopped by the Walmart, which, by the way, Tennessee Walmart sell cold beer. Get on the ball, Indiana.
Yeah, we're fucking hurt.
So. We went there, and you started picking up this beautifully painted can, and I says, what is this? He goes, you've never had Yinglings? No, I never have. But at the time, Indiana didn't sell Yinglings. But ever since then, it's been like the heroin of beers.
But we joked about it because we're like, man, if they ever start selling it here, we'll stop drinking it. And then all of a sudden, it just showed up one day.
It showed up.
We started following it like on Instagram or Facebook where we're doing this. Hey, this is, it's coming. But they're right. They're two states away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it took this long. What's it say? 1829, it was founded.
Yeah. I think they could have been a little bit more on the ball.
Yeah. They're kind of spreading like, I don't know, syphilis at a lesbian orgy.
Lesbian mode on.
It's moving a little slow.
Well, we got it. Either way, we got it. But, yeah. Yeah, so that's the Trade Water. Yeah, I'm sure syphilis.
We'll edit it out, I'm sure.
No. Syphilis can probably spread at a lesbian orgy.
Yeah, if you get one bi-curious chick that
you get one, you throw one bi-curious chick in the mix, hey, and everybody is screwed.
Here's what happens. Because you get all these soccer player chicks, and you get one softball player chick. Those are usually the ones that have had some dick.
No, basketball players.
No, softball players.
Because they're weird anyway.
Soccer players are all gay.
Male or female?
Chicks. Softball, yeah, basically, because they're all the same. Softball players... this is going to be a whole separate topic. But softball players are the chicks that are, they're built like a man, but dudes still kind of want to do them because they're kind of hot. They always had the big ponytail.
That's well, they make them, they make their butts look good in them pants.
I don't know about that. But anyway, so, but they're hot. Don't get me wrong. Those chicks can be hot, but they can also be hot to other chicks. So they're the ones that have kind of had some jock dick, but also has some jock lick. I don't know, whatever you call what chicks do. Scissoring. And so that whole thing goes down. So they take the sorority and then they spread it around.
Oh, I just dream of a day I could meet other gays who understand what it's like to be a gay.
That's what I'm saying. It's slow going. It's like getting the Native American to adopt the rifle. Once they figure out, oh, this is
and kind whiskey. Of a thing.
And whiskey.
Once holy shit! Out, fire water.
This is whiskey party. Whiskey party. I was down in Tennessee. This is a whole different derailing topic. I was down in Tennessee at Johnny's, and he watches this channel called Grit.
Ira Hayes.
I thought it was like some snuff mag in the 70s. Turns out it's a Western channel from now. But we watched this, and there was some John Wayne movie, and this Native American, I'm going to say Indian because that's what I call him. But anyway, this dude rolls up, and he kept firewater party, whiskey party, whiskey party. In the most inappropriate times, there'd be a fight going on the street, and this dude's cruising around like Johnny Depp on a horse going, whiskey party. And that was a running joke, but I'm like, how do you show that nowadays without somebody getting offended? We're going to find out because I'm talking about it on the podcast and somebody's going to get offended. So
somebody's going to get offended.
Them. But anyway.
Hey, we ain't here for them.
We're not here for them. It's like I always tell the women in my life. I'm not here for your pleasure. But carry on.
You're single now, right?
Yeah. Who would have guessed?
No, I was just wondering. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I'm still single. What else you got, Todd? You want to talk about my dead brother? Jesus Christ.
I find that hard to
anything
believe.
Else? So what else we got?
The night's still young. Okay, we got
talked about.
We got Tradewater. We got Yuma. Yuma, Chief.
Talked about the Yuma.
All right, we got the Chief.
Chief.
The Chief is almost not worthy
sticking
of mention
with our Native American.
Well, actually, it's funny. It's funny that you mentioned that because at this point, we kind of realized that we had the Native American thing going on, so we tried to somewhat stick with it. And that's where the Chief came from, because actually it was two, again, the same knife as the Yuma and the Tradewater, but yet the Chief had a little bit bigger blade yet than the Tradewater.
Do you remember? Because it was the full height of the steel.
It was the full height of the steel, and it was a little bit longer, but people...
Yeah, the length wasn't a matter to it. I was the guy cutting them out, so I looked at it like, I don't have to come in way back here and cut. I can cut way up here.
Yeah.
That's where I was at with it. I was like, hey, like,
but
let me cut less.
Because they were so close in sizes that people mistaked them for trade waters, and they didn't sell that well.
Yeah.
And
I've got one of those too.
Do you have a Chief?
I got a Chief. I bought it secondhand.
Really?
Yeah. From damn. You knew where it came from at the time because I remember telling you I bought this.
What's it look like?
It's been a while since I've seen it. It's in my bag of knives out in the garage.
But, that's a good place for it.
Well, I mean, how many knives do I have, dude? Like a few hundred.
Yeah, I'd probably say.
I've got a ton of knives.
Yeah.
So I'll dig it out.
But the point is,
what the hell is that?
I didn't make a whole lot of them because people confuse them with the Tradewater. And
it's his radio. Your radio was still on and we were listening to it. It sounded like Native American chants going on. Did we piss off the burial ground?
Hey, yo,
we're out
yo,
here talking
yo,
about
yo,
chiefs and magwas and shit. And this is, it was the radio. Anyway.
All right. Well, maybe we ought to
your
get shop, off
your lies, head. Your stories, carry on.
Maybe we ought to get off the Native American before we get our asses magwad.
They were better at defending their land. They'd still have it.
No. Yeah, hey, it's gonna piss somebody else.
That's our rim shot.
But yeah, at that point we was kind of trying to go with Native American names, and then we all kind of shit the bed after that.
Well, no, we tried again.
What did we try?
The Big Bowie. The Yona.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
Bam.
Holy shit. I knew there was a reason why I brought you down here.
There's got to be something.
The Yona. What was the Yona?
The Big Bowie. It was a
bear. I know, but what did we...
Because somebody said Tatanka, because that's a bullshit name for buffalo and that stupid
Tatanka is
movie.
Buffalo. Yona was...
Kevin Costner movie. It's
Yona,
bullshit, though.
Yona meant Big Bear.
Big Bear.
Big Bear. Big Bear.
I wanted to call it the Bruin. Somebody else came with... Man, there was a bunch of... I mean, it just went...
God,
just,
you're digging deep
there,
on
there
these
some,
names, man.
There was a ton of shit. I was still down here married. That's how long ago this was. We came up with all kinds of... This, I'm telling you, this was my life when I was married. I mean, I hung on to this. That's why my marriage failed. No, not you.
Put me on that.
I didn't give a damn about my marriage. I gave a damn about all this, and I still do, but it's like I'm not here as much. But yeah, there. So we had the Yona.
God, the Yona, I forgot all about that. Yeah. It was called Big Bear.
How many of them there? How many of them you think you made?
Not many.
A dozen, maybe. Less?
No, probably a few more than that. Probably.
Really? Curtis had one. Didn't he? For a minute.
I don't know, man. I lose track of where they go. There's got to be a couple dozen of them.
That's why we numbered the M18s that we still haven't talked about, but we'll talk about that later, but... Man, we.
I forgot all about the Yona.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a bad man with Jamma, dude. That's what I'm saying. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, it was basically, it was a big, well, I didn't forget about the knife. I forgot about
the
name.
The name, yeah.
But yeah, we called that the Yona, and I remember it meant Big Bear, and I can't remember what. Indian language.
Comanche, maybe?
I thought it was...
I'll Google it.
Like,
you...
I don't know. But, yeah. Wow. Holy shit. Yeah. But it was a Bowie knife that wasn't much...
Cherokee.
It wasn't much smaller than the M18 and actually had the same handles that the M18 because we could bolt on the same handles from the M18.
I remember that being a thing.
Yeah. And, yeah, I haven't made one of those in a long time either.
What was... Are you done about that one? Or are you going to keep going?
I can't think of anything historical to add to that.
Maybe throw in kind of how big it was. Because, I mean, there's people out there that might be looking at this going, hey, man, then one day this is going to be the definitive resource.
Yeah, no, I just mentioned it was just a little bit smaller than an M18. But it was a clip point Bowie. Well,
when we say that, I mean, an M18 is not a small knife.
An M18 is a little bit over 16 inches overall length.
About 16 and a half, isn't it?
Yep. And I remember the Yona was...
And it was just under 2 pounds. So
it was maybe 3/4 of an inch shorter.
Yeah, yeah.
And had the same handles as the M18s, the M18 standards.
Yep.
And yeah. Yeah, it was a cool knife, but man, again, it was something that didn't really necessarily demand that high of a price. And it was when you start getting in shit that big, man, you've got an absolute killer bunch of work on your hand.
Right.
And it never water jetted those. Those were all hand cut, 1/4 inch thick. And if you guys haven't taken a knife blade that's that big and cut it out by hand and
it's dumb
and make 2 dozen of them and have people
go
bitch about
it or something.
Yeah, and have people bitch about the price of a handmade knife. If it doesn't, if you're not already alcoholic, it'll make you one.
Here's what I appreciated about big knives compared to little knives. My hands did not hurt as much at the end of the day working on handles of big knives. Little knives, there's a lot of fine detail. There's a lot of fingertip bullshit going on.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're like, just me sitting here dicking with that little Hornet. I mean, that knife can fit in the palm of your hand. And you're working on this tiny little area with just your fingertips. You could take an M18, or a yoni, if you have one of the 10 that exist, or 20, or whatever they are, and you're working on that, you can actually oil in a Jesus. It's like
oil in a Jesus.
It's like oil in a Jesus. No, but it's like
he done oil to Jesus.
It's like oil. Woo! It's like oil in a baseball.
You all right, old buddy?
It's like oil in a baseball mitt, though, man. I mean, it's different. It's a whole different experience. Jeez, oh Pete, sir.
Son, that one had some stink on it. Our man behind the curtain.
Whoa. I kind of need another beer, but I don't want to venture down that way. No, don't. It'll put some tang on that fucking top.
I think we might need to take an intermission.
Yeah, I might need fresh air. I might need to piss again anyway, and we might need to consult the Mandalorian or some shit.
Good night. That one stinks.
Holy Christ. Woo!
Cover your beer, man.
Yeah. I haven't opened mine yet, so we're good.
You saw what I just ate.
Don't open up your mouth and suck back. Jesus Christ.
2 hours later.
Okay. We're back, folks. We had a bad air warning go off. Sorry about that.
Air quality alert.
Air quality alert. It wasn't my doing. It wasn't Murph's doing. It was our,
Not pointing fingers, producer.
But, not pointing fingers, Mr. Producer, but yeah, that one was pretty grody. Okay, so, hey, let's pick up where we was at.
So we were at, talking about, like I said, the bigger knives, you said they do, there's a lot of work in it.
Man, my skin's greasy now.
I wonder why.
All right.
But we were saying how there's a lot of work into those big knives and how they demand such a premium, and I said, well, it's funny because being the guy that used to sand the handles, I always felt like the little knives should demand a little bit more premium.
Oh, exactly.
The bigger knives gives you room to actually stretch when you're sanding.
No, 100%. And the thing of it is, nobody understands that. It's like the little ability bat axe and the leave-it cleavers.
Yeah.
Man, I could almost make a handsome living off just making those. Mm-hmm. But I've got to make 200 of those to equal, and I'm just spitballing numbers, 15 M18s,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's all the same amount of work. And like you said, the littler, the more you are, for lack of a better term, attracted to the flaws.
Yeah.
There's no room to hide anything on something small because, I mean, you know how it is, man.
And maybe it's like this. Maybe it's like listening to an electric guitar versus an acoustic guitar. You can appreciate the smaller nuances in an acoustic like you can the smaller knives. An electric guitar, you can hide a lot of bullshit in those bigger sweeps.
Yeah, to the untrained ear, you can. Yeah. But I guess in that sense, yeah, you're right. You're right. But it's interesting because some people are just big knife nuts, and some people are.
I'm a big knife guy.
You are big. You've always been a big
knife
guy.
I've always been that way.
But yeah, it's interesting. The Yona, I don't forget the knife, but I did forget that we dubbed it the Yona. So it's very interesting to have this conversation.
We sat here because you sat right there and I sat here because I used to sit right here all the time. You were always over there. And this is before all this came up. This was still a door.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we would sit here. And I remember coming up with, we would sit and talk about a lot of shit. We'd throw it on the internet. Like, hey, let's just see what they want.
We have had so many world-changing conversations
that we've forgotten.
Right here in this shop.
Yeah.
We have, you and I together,
yeah,
have solved every world's problems right here over this workbench, have we not?
I think so. I think if more world leaders would sit down in a knife shop, there'd be a lot less bullshit. There'd still be a lot of bullshit, but there'd be a lot
if more world leaders problems. Would sit here with us specifically, we would be...
We'd have a lot less world leaders.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as Spencer didn't...
as long as we had a shop full of knives.
Yeah, and as long as Spencer didn't shit all over him.
Yeah, It might cause some problems in Venezuela. They got an oil crisis.
But yeah, the Yona, man, I am glad to hear that name again. Maybe I'll do a couple more of those.
I want to see one. I might want to buy one.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, hey, don't let damn Curtis or somebody, some other asshole buy them from you.
Yeah, you know, asshole.
Hey, how about this? Money. Yeah, with guys with money. Yeah, I call him asshole because I like him. Let's see, what else? How about the razors?
The what?
The razors. Straight razors.
We didn't name them.
Oh, okay. I just didn't know if we were talking about just whatever. Or we just needed
names. Oh, we can talk about whatever you want. I mean.
Well, I mean, the keeper of the time over here is like, hey, man.
But there is a ton of people that do not realize all the stuff that has been made before TM Hunt really became.
Trailmate.
The Trailmate is an odd bird, man.
That's a very odd bird.
That is a very odd bird.
The very first one I seen, I hate to say this, but I'm going to ask for it when he dies. That'll be the second coolest thing about when he dies. I'm just kidding. I like Bob. that damn Trailmate, man. That cool-ass, yellow, weird micarta G10 shit on Bob's knife.
On Bob's knife.
Remember that crate? Remember he came in here with that yellow handle? I call it case yellow because it always reminded me of the knife, the yellow the case used in their handles. Bob came in here asking for a knife. You drew it up. You made it for a Christmas present or something.
No.
I don't think so.
I don't know what Bob you're talking about. Oh. Yeah, holy shit. I forgot about that.
Crazy ass yellow knife he had?
Yeah, it was made out of the same case yellow stuff that I made
my razor.
Yeah.
But isn't that the Trailmate?
I'm pretty sure it may be. It
was a Trailmate because I was thinking farmhand or ranch hand, and you said Trailmate, I think.
No, Trailmate was it.
I think so, yeah, because I was thinking, like I said.
The Trailmate was a perfect marriage for any of you guys out there that know anything about the TM Hunt models. I took a Yuma and I made its lovely wife the Magua.
Yep.
Is that?
Yep.
It was a good one. It was a bigger Magua, closer to the size of a Yuma, little bit thinner stock, and that's when I started experimenting with the 532s.
Yep.
And it didn't have the it had the kind of the same enlarged grip of the Magua instead of the bird's beak grip of the Yuma.
Had a little bit more of an exaggerated Magua handle.
Yeah.
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 It had more of a like a rounded end.
I still got a 1095 blank in here.
Yeah, dude. Of it. Yeah.
I don't know if it's over there.
No. But it was so similar to a 16.
A little off of a 16.
But that's the thing, is I hate to say that. I'm stepping away from the mic, I know. But
hey, where you're standing, he's got one in the chamber, obviously. I wouldn't get to.
I know.
But yeah, and where that came from was I just wanted an all-around good knife, but that was another one that was so close in design to two knives that I already made that it kind of came in underneath the radar, and it didn't sell that well. I tell you who's got one.
I wonder
one.
If you re-released it, if somebody would snag it up now and it would spread around.
Maybe. I tell
shit
you.
Shit like that's what you ought to do.
I tell you who's got one of the coolest ones, and that's our buddy Jerry.
Jerry gets all the cool shit because he comes down here and gets you drunk, which I've got you drunk, but the problem is I get me drunk while I get you drunk. And I don't get anywhere with it. But Jerry got you drunk and came down here one time with a Swiss Army knife and walked away with five new models.
Yeah, but you know what? I got a $500 truck sitting out there.
I thought you were going to say, but I lost that Swiss Army knife, so who's the real winner?
I got a $500 truck out there that's worth about $4,000 or $5,000 thanks to him too, so I can't bitch.
I got a $4,000 or $5,000 Land Rover out there that I got from Gutsy after giving him a bunch of shit, and I'm an idiot. Never mind. Carry on.
But the thing of it is, all those deals are fun, and you know, it all comes back.
They're amongst friends. It's awesome. That's one of those
cool things. It all comes back.
That's one of those cool things that this is like an aside, but that's one of those cool things that because of the knife industry, we met these people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude, there's stuff all day long. I come up with stuff that I'm like, man, I didn't know this person.
Some of knife thing. Some of my best friends that I – what's wild is I've always been – and you have too. We've always been local guys, mm-hmm. you know.
We're the townies.
Yeah, whatever you want to call us. I mean, we're Indiana. Cowboys, plowboys, whatever it is.
We're outstanding in our fields.
But some of our best friends now that we will have for the rest of our lives – are all over the United States now.
And in big, high-profile jobs.
And we've got people that are a hell of a lot bigger deal than us.
Yeah. Let's see, what else? Well, we hadn't hit the big boy yet.
We haven't hit the big boy yet, but we want to come. See, we also got...
We want to make sure we've blown our load before we get to that.
Oh, I don't know. I think... we're probably on the
what are we on? The 2 hour mark?
The teeter totter of divorce with our flatulent friend.
He's buying crap. What are you on? USA made blade buying stuff?
Are you buying toilet paper? I hope. Jesus Christ.
Hey, new pants.
I bought 2 more boxes of that.
Todd, a new stool.
You buying me a new stool or you some undies or something?
I didn't fart in a stool.
God, dog.
I mean, you farted pressure. That whole side of the room.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping you'll replace the whole 20 square foot.
You didn't fart in the stool, right. You farted in the shop. You owe him a shop.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, though, is you get face value.
Face value?
Yeah.
I'm sick.
That's what I got on a car.
I'm kind of disgusted that my face got introduced to that.
You should be blessed.
I mean, what other models we got?
Well, we got the Little Billy Bad Axe. We got the, those are so insignificant.
Well, no, hit them. Hit them.
Oh, the Ring Pop.
Well,
speaking of
you Jerry. You filled that one by yourself.
Speaking of Jerry, he's the one that, name that.
Okay.
Next question. The Ring Pop is the nuck that I make.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, just thought it was kind of a funny pun because I know that this is way before your time, youngster. But back in the day, we used to have candies that was called the Ring Pop that all little kids used to
they're
wear.
Still around, it's Dan. Like, God.
There's swizzle sticks and things like that.
Yeah.
Back in my day, we had Ring Pops.
And, oh, you mean these, Granddad?
Yeah. Whizzabahoozits and Watchamacallits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thingamajig. Yeah.
Cartoon.
I bet you don't remember. Hell, I don't.
Hell, you don't remember.
but yeah, we just kind of thought it was a funny pun.
Yeah.
Pretty much covers that one. Little Billy Bad Axe, the little keychain hatchet.
Yeah.
That's actually after a Gwar song that was called Little Billy Badass.
Little Billy Badass.
You know what's funny about that? Okay, so there's a, I think I showed you. There's a company out there that makes a little mini axe called the Atom, I think. It's like.
Atom as an atom or atom as
an atom. Okay. Yeah, like the atom bomb. I just don't enunciate because I'm from fucking Indiana. I don't
the
care.
Japanese love it.
Yeah, they love that thing. They all get blown. Why wouldn't they love it? But it's one of those. It's one of those little things that somebody created. I want to say it's like they say the unique blah blah. It's all this. I'm like, no, it's not. Like it's basically a Little Billy Bad Axe that's just water jetted with no handles and has a magnetic sheath. It's not that great.
So,
but anyway, that came way later after the little Billy Bad Axe.
Yeah,
and then we had the cleaver, right?
Yes.
But the cleaver came first. Is that not true? Because I think mom's got the first cleaver.
Yes, it is true.
Yeah.
Your mom does have the very first one.
She does.
Yeah. And then we thought that was such a good idea because everybody liked it that I came out with the axe. You are right. Does your mom still have it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm out. I wouldn't expect she'd get rid of it. Yep. But
she kept a hold of hers, unlike mine.
Oh, well, I do you wish to share that
story? You should share that story because you've seen the whole thing happening.
No, I didn't. I was off buying beer.
At the booth. Inside Blade Show.
I had nothing to do with it. She sold it.
I thought you sat and watched it all happen, and I thought you were waiting to tell me because it wasn't your deal. But she was so proud she made it. God.
She was so proud that she made a deal.
And I didn't want to take it away from her, but at the same time, I was so mad because I just lost my knife, for lack of a better word.
Maybe we ought to explain what we're talking about so everybody's like,
probably a good idea. It's your show, you talk about
it. There I was, minding my own business. We were at a Blade Show. And before I started making the Little Billy Bad Axe in large numbers, and this is the pocket keychain that looks like a small axe, Murph had one, and it was one of our very first years at Blade.
It was bone handle.
It was bone handle, and... we had it as a display, just kind of like a thing.
Because we'd sold out of them. All we had left was the cleavers.
did we have some that year?
Yeah. We had some. We only brought like three, and they sold out. And she goes, we also have these. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's right, because that was the reason you took yours out.
I said, here's mine. I threw it out.
Yeah, so he took his literally off his keychain or whatever it was he carried it on and put it in the display case. To display it, so to give people a...
It was one of idea. The leather that Bill made. Those leather, what do they call them? EDC trays.
I don't remember
they that. They were sitting on the table. Remember that? Bill came and hung out at our table.
Was that the same year?
The same year.
Okay.
He threw them out there, and I threw like a handful of those out there. I think that was Gina's idea, actually, to throw those out there on those.
Okay.
And then I threw that on there. I said, here's that.
Well, again, you remember better than I do, but anyway, what we're getting at was you took your personal one that you owned and displayed it.
And I went over to
on
SOE.
The table.
Yep.
And you went somewhere.
Yeah, I went over to
SOE's
table.
I don't know
table.
If it was to the glory holes or what, but you went somewhere.
I wish there was glory holes at Blade. Yeah. On the other hand, I'm glad there's not glory holes at Blade.
Anyway, somebody asked Gina, and she sold some bitch. That's about all there is to it, right? She didn't really necessarily realize.
Yeah, they basically came up there and asked. And when I walked up, I said, she goes, hey, I sold a knife. I said, cool. And I'm looking at the table. And in my head, I'm not the quickest, you know, draw. But I look at it going, what did you sell? Because everything's still here. And I'm looking at this giant table going, it's all still here. And she goes, and she was so excited. She goes, Murph, I sold a knife. I said, what? She goes, it was Little Billy Bad Axe. I said, Gina, we didn't have any sales. She goes, yeah, we did. I had one right here. And I said, no, we didn't. And that you were standing there. That's when you walked up because you had your beer and you knew it had happened, but you're waiting on her to tell me.
Oh,
and you go,
yeah.
You
that's
knew.
That's what it was.
And you were standing. Yeah, that's what it was.
I didn't approve the sale.
Yeah.
But she got the sale on her own.
That dude was already long gone.
Oh,
it was,
yeah.
Like I said, thousands of people at Blade inside the Blade Show.
Yeah, you're right. I was expecting a pretty good
What we were saying in the pit, triple that at least inside the sale itself the next day, even with people hungover.
Oh, triple it, my
That's
ass.
What makes fun.
Quadruple it.
That's what makes it so fun.
Yeah.
So you go in there and there's like, you know, 1,500, 2,000 people inside.
Oh, yeah. And every one of them came up to you. Man, you was hilarious with that rubber chicken on your face running naked. Well, I'm like,
cool.
What the fuck are you talking about?
My name's T.M. Hunt. Yeah, you told us all night long. Yeah. All right. And
you was wild as hell.
I remember she walked up and she was so excited and I didn't want to take it from her. And I go, what did you sell? And she finally told me. And you're standing there like laughing, like, tell me, Gina, what did you sell?
Yeah, what you selling?
I sold a Little Billy Bad Axe.
You didn't have none.
There wasn't any to sell.
No, the hell we didn't.
And she said it again. She goes, I sold it. And I go, that was mine. Oh. No, it wasn't. It was for sale. I said, no, it wasn't, Gina. She goes, it didn't have a tag on it that said not for sale. And I go, Gina, to your point, it didn't have a sale price on it either.
It didn't have a price.
There was no sticker with a fucking price on it. And she just looked at me and she's like, I'm so sorry. And you go, dude, get a $100 bill out of that. That's yours. And I was like, I remember I walked away. He's like, no, it's sold. hell with it. It's gone.
Yeah.
I might have got $100 out of there. I don't remember, but I remember.
I hope he did, because that means I don't have to make you another one.
No, you still got to make one. Yeah, you had to make one about 5 years ago, so no rush.
All right. Well, you know what the worst thing is to say to a knife maker?
No rush.
I'm not in a hurry.
Okay. No rush. Just whenever you get around to it.
We tend to believe you.
Cool story, bro. And you move on. What else?
Trailing this. Well, if you want to keep on digging into the rarities.
What else? What do you got?
I don't know. You want to go for the big boy? Or do we want to name this new one? No.
You know,
we don't speak of them. You know what?
We have to.
No.
If you name that one, you got to name that one.
But people are going to say, what is this?
If you know about Aldo Range, you got to know about the Bear Jew. That's what I thought earlier when you were saying, well, if you know TM Hunt Custom Knives, you got to know about Murf. I'm like, well.
That is a knife that I just want to slip into obscurity. Well, I don't think the good people heard you, so.
I think they fucking heard me loud and clear, M9.
The M9. again.
We should go M18 then.
Well, the M18 was a precursor to the M9. Yep. People always think, well, you made the M9 first.
No.
And then you decided to make it better. No. The M18 designed and made. And then I decided to kind of scale it down, which took away all the good attributes of the M18. And in my opinion, and I'm kind of a knife guy, in my opinion,
you don't carry one.
The M9 isn't
know where the gun's at.
Absolutely useless blade.
M9?
The M9.
Yeah, I believe it.
And people still go back and they Google it and they find it and they ask me for it. And I would rather them line up in a line and take turns kicking me in the balls than asking about it. It is literally a knife that I want to go away forever because it has no decent use whatsoever. And the reason it's the M9 is because basically it is half of an M18, and you take 18 and you divide it in half, and that is nine.
I was watching our producer learn about magnifying glasses.
Yes. And there's a couple dozen of them out there, and people still to this day ask me about them and want them, and I just utterly refuse because I just want them to go away.
There, as I remember, coming back here one day, and Jeff had been over here, our friend Jeff Mock that we talked about earlier. Jeff had come over here, and you guys together had come up with an M18 without the draw knife portion. Because he's like, I don't ever use this. But to me, I'm like, that's the mechanical advantage of that knife.
That is exactly what it is.
But to him, he's like, look, man, I don't use this. I want just this portion. I get it, because he's like, it could be a chef tool. Well, cool, because we had his, you know, whatever, potato soup. So I'm like, sure, this sounds like a fantastic idea. Make me more shit that I can eat. And which was great. But again, it was but you're taking away from the use of the knife.
You're taking away the attributes of what makes the M18 so freaking great.
Yeah.
And you're making it into a smaller package that is, don't get me wrong, it's visually appeasing. As far as a cool factor, it's cool. But as far as a functioning tool, it's horrid.
Yeah, it's not a... It doesn't lend itself to anything. It just looks neat.
We dubbed it as the field cleaver.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Bad. Then you got the old cleavers.
But
they joke about, remember the one dude we ran into down at the blade show that guy that had a show he wanted to sell where he was go out hunting and do all this stuff with the same blade and it would be the star of the show basically and all this bullshit. The guy that was friends with EJ, the chef guy.
Oh, yeah.
They had the card standoff.
Yeah, God, they had funny. The anyway, pulling contest.
But it was funny as shit. But anyway, it was the same idea. I want this knife that I can carry and it can do all this crap. And it's like, it's neat, but you also have to know how to use a knife, not just know how to cook.
Yeah.
And I know cooks can handle knives, but they also don't handle knives the same way a knife guy handles a knife.
No.
It's a totally different skill set.
Yeah. There are so many different skill sets when it comes to a knife.
It's like the guy that sells the tractor versus the guy that uses the tractor.
Exactly.
Or the guy that can use the tractor to do something tractor-ish and not just for Instagram.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, you said that very well. But this brings on even more. The one title that has taken on two different models in the TM Hunt Shop, the Mohawk.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, this brings back a lot of stuff. Wow. Started making out of the original cutoffs of the M18s.
Yep.
I just started making little miniature hatchets.
That was another Jeff thing. Jeff was in here with you and said you should do something to scrap it.
Yeah, and we did. We made little hatchets out of the original hand-cut M18s.
Yeah.
And we called them the Mohawks.
Yep.
And
to stick with the Native American Indian
thing. To stick with the Native American thing. Well, everybody kind of forgot about them when I started water jetting the M18s because I didn't have that scrap.
Yep.
And then the Nessmuk that I made some versions of, that got dubbed the Mohawk.
Yeah.
So it's the one knife or the one title that's actually covered two different models here. Yeah. But it's going to have to stick with the Nessmuk knife because I'll make more of those.
Yeah, well, the hatchets are...
The hatchets, those were just cutoffs from M18s.
But you know, there is a big calling for those little tactical tomahawk type things still.
Yeah, well, I've got too many things. Then I guess that comes to the big...
He's just one guy.
I'm just one guy, that's right. My name in the lights. I guess that comes to...
The M18?
The M18, man. You need to fill that one.
I don't know nothing about that.
I'm going to sit here and drink my sarsaparilla.
Well, it's going to be a quiet podcast then, ain't it?
Do you remember the original I'll get them. Do you remember what I wanted to call the M18?
No.
And when I think about it now, it's totally, totally freaking stupid.
No, I don't remember. I'm trying to imagine what it would have been.
You don't remember. I wanted to name it the POD, the Prophet of Doom.
Yeah, you're right. That's totally stupid.
But do you not remember it?
No.
You don't?
No. Why was the POD a thing?
Because it's a Clutch song, and I thought it was cool.
Nobody thought a Clutch song was cool.
All right. Well,
no, I don't remember that at all. Really?
Yeah, that's my end of the story. But why don't you tell us how we decided on the M18?
I remember us sitting here. Like I said, I was sitting where you are. You were over there. And we talked about the idea that it was going to lay waste to everything in front of it.
All things arboreal.
Well, that became later because we were sitting here talking with Jeff and he goes, it kills all the trees. And I said, it'll destroy all things arboreal. So to me, I was like, that was like an M18 Claymore mine. And when we were in the Marine Corps, they gave us these and they said, hey, this will kill anything in front of you in an ambush zone. And I'm like, I want two of them. I was like, when they told me what they do, I go, give me all of them. Because that's what I'm trying to do is kill everything in front of me. So this turned into, I want all of these. And that's why I was like, man, an M18 Claymore mine. Let's just make that a thing. And to me, it always kind of looked like a tool that you would give like the Roman cutting crews that would have to go out and build the equipment first before the Romans would lay siege to a city. They're like, hey, yeah, the foot soldiers, the centurions get all the glory because they were the soldiers that marched in with the giant shields and they made the turtle and they would do the spear wall and the phalanx and all that shit. That's pretty cool. Whatever. But there was guys that had to go in first, and they were like the guys that had to go in and do, we're going to make these trebuchets, we're going to make these catapults, and we're going to make all this crazy equipment that's going to launch shit over the walls. It's going to make these people want to come out of this city to where these guys can kill them. And I'm like, that's the guys that I was like, these are the guys that need these badass tools that can be on their side as a weapon and a tool. So I always thought that was pretty badass. And I was like, that's what it, to me, it really showed when we got it made. But I remember when we first came up with it, there was a design off Blade Forums, and then they're turned into, somebody later brought up that Russian Spetsnaz machete.
Which didn't have anything to do with.
Which was nowhere around in our periphery at the time when this was drawn up.
No. But also, the Claymore was also a reference to the longsword of. No.
Well, the Claymore. That's a Scottish thing, and that was actually, that's what the M18 mine is named after.
Okay, that's what I mean, you're kind of right.
So that was kind of taken after the Scottish Claymore broadsword. It was a big sweeping arc.
Yes.
So back in the day, and you probably know enough about this, guys would fight with swords, and they were like one-handed swords or whatever, or two-handed Agincourt swords, and they would fight, and they would back and forth or whatever. But then you had the Scots would say, hey, man, we don't have cavalry. All right. So the cavalry would come in, and these guys would pull up these big swords that had like a 3-foot handle, and they would grab them, and it was a sweeping arc. They would take it up and over to take these guys off a horse because they didn't have horses. So they had to drop these dudes off the horses. So they had to. That's kind of what the idea was with the Claymore mine, was it was a big sweeping arc to even out the fucking thing. So if you were setting up an ambush, or if you knew you were up against opposing forces that tripled your numbers, you'd set this Claymore mine that I think, I'm not sure exactly, I'm wrong in this, I'm sure, but I've set like a few of them off in my time. But you'd set off a mine that had C4 plastic explosives in it, and it would have, I want to say, 1,000 of these little fucking steel BBs in it, basically. Like, not BBs, they're like buckshot, basically. And you'd set them off, and they would just kill everything in like an 80-meter radius or some shit. Like 80 meters out and like 100 wide or some crazy shit. Maybe more than that, I'm sure. But it would kill everything in front of it. And you'd want to set them up kind of in a funnel. So when you killed it, it killed everything in here. And you were the guy shooting here. So you had nothing left to shoot at. And I'm like, dude, that's evening the odds. That's what America's good at. We're going to even the odds with technology.
Yes.
Like,
build a bomb.
We can't throw 1 billion Chinese at you, but we got this $1 billion piece of technology that'll say, fuck your Chinese. Like, that's where I was at with it. But it was pretty cool. We got dollars. We don't have Chinese. We'll get the Chinese to make it. But it was pretty cool.
We know any Chinese people that are going to be pissed off by this?
Yeah, they don't speak this shit. We've already tipped the rabbit hole, folks. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
We're entering Alex Jones territory now.
If you guys are still listening after all this bullshit, you guys kind of know what's going on.
You're really committed, and you don't give a fuck about us.
So the only thing that we're really going to hit on yet in this little episode is we've got one knife that we have to name. And my understanding is you are not so keen on its name after you completely fucked up the finish on both of these.
I didn't fuck up the finish, sir. Now that I figured out you're talking to me, what I did was fix where you left the glue on from the handles.
Mm.
I got rid of that with a razor blade. Then I hit it with the SOS pad. All you got to do is blend the bluing back in.
Okay. All right. Some people's now, kids.
Hey, man. Now that I left, everything's gone to shit.
But we got a new model here. And first of all, I want to know what your opinion is on it. Because it's just... I've made trailing points before.
Yeah.
But trailing points are difficult to, and I could be totally wrong here, man. I don't know. But trailing points are a little bit difficult to market because they're a little bit more, and these especially are a little bit exaggerated. Beside my plunge line, I didn't want anything on this knife to be a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted it to be filled with sweeping lines and curves.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted it to be something a little different than what I'm used to doing. And also, when you come to trailing point knives, it's very hard to make a sheath for them without cutting through the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you laughing? Did you cut through the top of
it? We've seen knives that have been cut through the top of the sheaths.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
The straps on the back.
And, yeah. I'm very pleased about this knife. I really am. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a, dare I say, and I'm not trying to take any credit where it's not due, but I'm thinking of a very hot-rodded BK-15. I mean, take a normal car and drive it every day, and that's what you got. But take the same thing, put a big block in it, chop the top, tub the back of it out. And this is a very hot-rodded BK-15.
Okay, that's fair.
Is that fair?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I mean...
yep. I mean, totally, totally different knife.
It's not like you just took a BK-15.
No, I didn't take a BK-15 and modify it.
It's not even close, but yeah.
But we're talking about names this evening. And this one, before we're done tonight, we need to come up with a name for this. And you know I've got a working title for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I assume that you don't agree with it?
I don't like it.
You don't like it? The working title that I have given it is the Nomad.
I didn't agree with my ex-wife. I also didn't like my ex-wife.
Oh, no.
It's a totally different situation.
No, I'm totally getting it here. I know your history. We already went through that.
Another episode.
No, I ended up liking her, but I'm saying, to me, a Persian is a style of blade.
Okay.
So to name it the Persian is naming it the style of the blade that it has.
I'm not naming it the Persian.
I thought that was what you named it, was the Persian.
No, the Nomad. Where are you at? The reason I like the Nomad is a vagabond and a wanderer, something that can go or does go anywhere. And while it does have a Persian look to it, I think it's something that can go anywhere and do anything. And that's why I'm thinking the Nomad is a very good name for it. That's it? Okay?
I heard your speech about it. I heard what you were saying.
All right. Next question.
Yeah, I heard what you said. thank you, sir. But you've all made us dumber. What was that Billy Madison speech? Thank you for that.
We are all dumber for having heard your response.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying I get it. To me, Nomad has a connotation of that, but it also has this crazy biker motorcycle club gang thing.
No.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
It has the hot rod group. Because Nomad was a pretty damn cool car that Chevy came out with that was, I think, 56, 57.
Maybe. But it was also a biker club.
Was also, oh, was also a biker club?
It's a biker gang, yeah. The Nomad, because you had the Warlocks, the Nomads, and the Hell's Angels.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not a biker.
You used to ride a bike. You didn't hear this shit.
I used to ride a bike when I was a kid.
Dude,
yeah,
no, you had a motorcycle. You'd have people all the time asking you, are you a nomad? No. Are you this? No. Dude, I ride a bike. I don't give a shit. Like, this is a conveyance. Just because I get in a car doesn't mean I'm Mario Andretti. It means I get in a vehicle to get me somewhere faster than a fucking horse and carriage. How about that?
See, I see that a little different. I rode a motorcycle. I rode a Harley Davidson for over 10 years. And I had one time somebody asked me to join
the Hell's Angels. I had a few times.
But I'm here to tell you, it's not anything like these health freaks. Oh, I run 5 miles a day. Yeah, well, fuck you. I got a car.
that's different. But to me, honestly, like I said, to me, just looking at this, it has a Persian influence. And a Persian influence is Middle East, right? It's got that sweeping kind of like a
simple look. But I have absolutely, and man, what I'm about to say is going to sound totally racist, but I have absolutely no interest whatsoever in the Middle East.
Influence.
None whatsoever.
But you have to appreciate their food what sucks. They're saying.
Their clothes suck.
But you know what? When you've done nothing.
Sand sucks.
But you learn about it, though. When you've done nothing. But
I don't have to. I don't have to eat fucking curry and live in goddamn.
That's a whole different situation. Curry's not the same thing. But when you're used to eating MREs constantly while you're over there, and then all of a sudden somebody hands you some goat, you're like, I'll eat a fucking goat.
Oh, hell shit. Yeah.
I don't have any
attachment. Hey, goat's good eating.
I don't have any attachment to this goat. Fuck it. Like, I didn't name it. I didn't raise it. I'm not in 4-H. I don't give a shit. And that's what happened. So that's the next podcast name. I'm not 4-H. Yeah. I don't give a shit.
Fuck a goat.
Fuck a goat. I'm not 4-H. But no. But to me, honestly, you have to look at it and go, I get why. Have you ever watched that movie, The 13th Warrior?
No.
Antonio Banderas, a Mexican guy, a Spaniard, plays a fucking Middle Eastern guy. Yeah, and I think they always call him something. They call him, like, I don't know, some shit. They call him some dumb shit. But a bunch of Vikings take him in. And they always make fun of his big scimitar that he carries, his big fucking sweeping.
You told me about this the other day, didn't you?
No, it wasn't the other day. It was like a month ago, but cool story, bro.
Time travel,
it's like
man.
A comedian saying, the other day, and it was six months ago, somebody else's story from their cousin.
I drink a lot, so it's like time travel.
Yeah, it's time warping shit. But no, it's the same idea, man. It's like you have to look at it and go, it's a sweeping curves.
What the hell was that? He just squeezed the pig.
It's based off a scimitar. The whole idea. It's based off a scimitar.
So you're saying that I should renege on everything that I've put out there and name it the scimitar?
A nomad is a wanderer from the Middle East.
Wanderer.
Pitch Black. Chronicles of Riddick.
Never watch it.
Yeah, you wouldn't like it.
Yeah, it's gay.
It's enjoyable.
It's gay, you like it.
Do it. A lot of dicks and asses. You know what I'm saying? You'd like it. No, but man, I'm telling you, The Alchemist.
Now, you totally just went.
You would have to read this book, which I know is a foreign concept.
Oh, read
to
a
you.
Book. Holy crap.
It's a foreign concept to you, but it's a quick book. It's like 100 pages. It's a good book. The first person that told me about it was Moose. And that was when I was still married and looking to talk to anybody but my wife. And he told me about this book. And I thought, okay, I'll never read this dumb shit. A hot chick on Instagram told me about it. I read it. Because I'm a shallow cocksucker.
Back to Instagram with the thighs.
The thighs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a chick's thighs. And I followed it. So, like a dumbass, I listened to this story. And I was like, right on, man. I'll listen to it. I read the book and I thought it was pretty cool. But this is the kind of knife I would picture that dude carrying.
And do you wish to express what this alchemist is about?
Alchemist. Nice try, though.
I thought it was pretty valiant.
Yeah, it was all right. It was a good effort.
Audible gasp.
Not from many in the audience. So, yeah, man, it's this kid. He's a goat herder. So you figure a goat herder is going to carry a basic knife. He's not going to carry this big sheep herding. There's no swords in the goat herding world.
I know dick about goat herding.
At least you don't know goat dick.
Yeah, at least you don't know anything about dick herding either.
Thank you, Spencer. Thank
so you. He carries a basic knife about this size probably, right? To do his everyday task or his most arduous task are to be born with something like this. This is something that would serve that kid from the time of his goat herding days all the way to the time he found his alchemy. He found his life's work. He went through this long journey in this book with a knife about this size, probably. Yeah. It's about like Rambo. Like they put a lot of effort into that knife, the knife in Rambo. But if you read the Rambo book, that knife is basically a fucking buck fixed blade.
All right. Well, this kid, this alchemist. I'm pretty certain that his mom and dad, for what that thing cost, would probably eat for 5 years.
So, maybe. I mean, like I said, at the end of the day, your name's on the blade. I've always told you that. Your name's on the blade. You call it what you want.
All right.
I just have my ideas on it.
All right. Well, here's what I've got to say. We've pretty much gotten through everything that we've named, have we not?
Yeah. Dude, I don't know anything else that we've...
We're going to think of some more stuff.
I mean, there's going to be more crap that's going to come up. And if maybe that's the thing. If you're listening and you know more or you know something, Jerry, that has been out there that we have not named. I mean, really, honestly, look, either one of us could sit here in this shop and figure out something that's like, oh, hey, there's that one knife that was there that we made five of. I mean, there's knives that are like that. I don't know if you want to talk about those or if that's like another segment you want to do in a podcast later on down the road.
We have a shaken head, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
gone but not forgotten.
Yeah.
Gone but not forgotten. I forget how the song goes. I screwed that one up.
You yeah, put your M9 in that podcast.
Shut up. Do not speak the name.
I'm going to create a fake account and go on his website and request one.
Hashtag M89.
I'm going to kick you M9 in the
death
too.
Chant. Get Moose on it.
No, do not.
Yes.
Do not involve Moose
M9
in
death chant is like a Magua death chant. I got a Magua.
That's like
the death chant.
Folding Karambit. That's
a dumb idea.
Well, so is a freaking any more M9s in the world.
Yeah, they're kind of dumb. I get it, but they're kind of dumb.
But, hey, we're going to wrap her up for tonight. And the fantastic thing about all this is this has been a little stroll down history and memory lane for me, too. I forgot half the shit that you brought up tonight.
Dude, that was part of my life. I'm telling you.
I'll forget about 90% of this in the morning.
That's what I'm saying, man. When I was married, this was my life. I mean, it's kind of sad it's not now.
Well, all you got to do is give up the rest of your life and sell your house and live in a trailer in the driveway.
Shit, that it? Goddamn. Hey, Violet, you can shit in Todd's yard from now on.
Hell yeah, why not? I mean, the dogs totally leave gut rockets in the house after Thanksgiving dinner, evidently. But yeah.
Hey, Violet, this is a bonus for both of us. Go shit in Gina's living room. God.
Evidently, she'll get the vacuum out and the floor scrubber out. And good Lord. I mean, when I say seven shades of shit, I am not exaggerating.
Full circle.
From raw card to splatter zone, son. But, hey.
Went from AC/DC to Gallagher.
Yeah. Yeah. You having fun over there?
We'd be like Gina.
I like that we all signed the pig.
I do, too.
I'm happy with that.
I think a pig needs to be here for all these podcasts.
Well, then.
Well, you need to go buy like all of them.
Yeah. You need to go buy them out. If my dogs find this, it'll be his. It'll be
called Gandhi. In, like, and old Caleb's going to be looking for a new mascot.
Mm hmm.
You think Caleb needs this?
Yeah, we signed it. He has to have it now.
Yep. We will find pigs. All right. Let's button it up for tonight. Folks. Give me that thing.
Is the half beer you drank just now hitting you?
No.
What's going on?
I mean, feel that.
Is your wife going to beat you when you get home?
No.
You
she's probably passed out. She's probably asleep.
We hope so.
Yeah, I do too.
Ladies, gentlemen, we hope that this has been somewhat informative in the case of TM Hunt Custom Knives, if you are interested in such. And if not, we hope that at very least we have been entertaining.
Very least.
However, whichever it may be, we appreciate you tuning in and listening to us. And we thank you for all of your participation and your support. Yeah, that's about as nice as I can be. You got anything? Nah. He ain't got nothing to say. Man behind the curtain, nope. You got anything?
I'm good.
All right, well, we're going to wrap it up. Everybody, good night. God bless. And in the words of our good man, Jerry Springer, take care of each other.